Yeah. Somebody can lead us in prayer. Go,
it's Tuesday night, May 21st.
21st.
21st. 21st. 2019.
1 year ago today that Joanne passed away.
1 year.
Yeah.
Did you want to pray?
Okay. Oh, yes, Lord. We ask for your blessings on our meeting tonight, O Lord. We ask, O Jesus, that it, again, there would be a light from heaven that is shown on your word, that we would see things that we wondered, oh, how did we miss that before? But we did. Oh, we ask that you bring that clarity that is just such a special, special, wonderful thing, O Lord. We ask for that tonight by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I had something happen in prayer a couple days ago. And I felt that the Lord wanted me to tell you about it. Because, you know, the Bible says in James 4, it says to submit to God. And then resist the devil and he'll flee. That's James 4, 7. And as it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. What does that mean? I mean, is there any way you're going to be aware of it, or is it just going to be something that, you know, that you just take for granted? You take it by faith, or is there an experience possibly involved? Well, over the years, you know, and we've all got, you know, we've got a pretty good history of the moving of the Spirit. When the Bible says that is, you know, the gift of discerning of spirits, and Paul says to, or John says to try the spirits to see whether they're from God. And well, anyway, we used to have, and I can remember times that we were up. I was up in the front, and remember one time that the Spirit of the Lord came on me, and I fell on the floor. And Steve Fay, thinking he's going to help me, he came up there to help me, and he collapsed right on top of me. You remember that? Well, anyway, God makes himself known. And I have often wondered, you know, I don't know sometimes whether that was the spirit of the devil or the spirit of God. I mean, how do you know? You know, you... some of the things that we experienced, and I think some of the things were of the devil. And but anyway, the other night or morning, as I was praying, I felt this unusual closeness to the Lord. And I say that because just a word of encouragement or exhortation or whatever it is. And so, as I was, I felt closer and closer and closer, and I started to worship God and praise Him and thank Him for who He is and what He has done. And all of a sudden, my whole body was engulfed in the Spirit. And this time I knew for sure who it was. And I was shaking like a leaf. My every part of my body was shaking. And anyway, and I was so thankful. I thought, the Lord has a way of letting us know. And He let me know that it was Him that, you know, that was doing it. And anyway, I said that to let you know that it is available. It's available. You start worshiping and mean it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got to be a real, real thing. And thanking Him for His... for who He is, what he does, and His goodness. And it left an indelible imprint on me. And I thought, I have felt the Spirit of the Lord before. But this time it was different. It was like He was saying, I'm here. I'm right here. And we don't have to go by feelings, but at the same time, I did the experience of feelings. And in Job, the fifth chapter, when God came near to Job, I think it's Job 5. think straight away, when the Spirit of the Lord came near Job, the hairs on the back of his head, his neck stood up, you know, and he says that. And then the Lord spoke to him. You know, he didn't know for sure what spirit it was, but it was God. And God, we can't see him. And he's invisible. But he can let us know that he's there. And we've done that a number of times in the church. We've had some real major things happen. And this was, it's available. And I realize that it's available again. That wasn't the last time it'll ever happen. It's available again. And so just, if you can believe me, because it really did happen.
Well, I can believe you because I've personally had it happen in the past once or twice.
Yeah, well, it's me too, once or twice.
You know, but it hasn't recently.
Well, it was just the other night with me.
Yeah. But I believe that. And it's a wonderful thing.
Every part of my body was tingling.
Yeah.
That's who he is. And,
Well, that's kind of interesting. And Charlie asked me to share this, and I think it kind of lines up. So, which is it, because I'm sure you don't remember this. So, but this is that vision that that dream I had, or vision. As an old man, I had dreams. That dream I had a couple years ago. I was at a service or a gathering. It seemed like it might have been here at the church at one point, and later it seemed like it was in a different place, but somehow similar. There were people that usually were not at one of our services or gatherings. There were not hundreds or thousands, but rather dozens. Someone was reading the word. It seemed that there were a lot of references to the high priest Melchizedek. At least that is what I remember being brought. While the word was being read, the Holy Spirit fell down powerfully. I was in the back of the room where I normally sit, and somehow, somewhere, all this water was standing on a table in front of me. But the water didn't flow or drip away. It just stood there, a couple inches tall, kind of like a loaf of bread. It held a shape, defying gravity. I reached out and I put my right hand forefinger into the standing water, up to the second knuckle. It felt like water, but it was holding and maintaining its shape in nothing but air. The word was continuing to be brought and shared. While I was looking at this clump of water just shimmering on this table in front of me, the person who was sharing the words finished, stopped speaking, and the water started to lose its form and become a normal puddle of water, but it moved very slowly, very non-naturally, more like a syrup would move. I looked around the room, and I noticed that there were what appeared to be lots of people who looked like Jewish priests, in mostly black clothing, but with priestly hats, not skull caps. Everyone was feeling the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit deeply from what had just been shared. Someone came up to me and started speaking to me about what had been brought, and I was sharing what had taken place in front of me with the water. As I was talking, I placed my right forefinger on the spot as I had inserted my finger in the standing water, and from nowhere, water started gathering at the point of my fingertip, and as I held it there, the water climbed up my finger to the second knuckle, like a wicking action, defying what was normal. Several people saw this happen, and there was a lot of murmuring going on around me. I lifted my finger up off the table, and the water went back down the table, seemingly absorbed by the table itself. I started to walk away from this table into what appeared to be another room, behind where I had been. And there were more priest-like people, and they were sharing the exact same word of God that I had heard just before in the other inner room. The Spirit was falling down on this group of people powerfully as well. And as I approached someone to say that I had just heard the same passage of Scripture a few moments before, this was significant as they could not have been able to hear what I had heard in the other room. It was just being brought to two different places at the same time. And then I woke up.
That was a dream you had?
A dream I had March 6, 2016.
That long
ago. I know years. Because it was 2 years exactly the day after my dad died.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. And I'm sure at the time we probably were talking about Melchizedek and what was being shared.
Yeah.
But because we don't often, and I don't often think about it, but there was something, but that's what I saw. And it in a way, it reaffirms what you just shared, because they're both kind of implying that the Spirit is real and the Spirit is powerful, and you can literally feel or know it's there.
Well, he lets you know he's there.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, even though you can't see him, he still lets you know he's there.
I was struck just hearing now that the two groups were speaking the word identically. You know, it is as though we will be in one accord, even though the circumstances differ.
Yeah, I don't try to interpret dreams, let alone my own, but I thought about it, and what came to me was truth is being shared, and truth is being shared in multiple places, and mm-hmm. that was the thing that was, you know, because it's talking about the high priest, the Melchizedek, and then truth is being shared, and it's being shared in multiple places, and I took a lot of, I felt good about that, because that seemed to be, I mean, that's really what we want. We want truth, and we want it to be all the time, and we want it to be.
And didn't you say a lot of them looked like they were priests?
Yeah, I don't know where that came from at all.
Well, it kind of lines up.
Jewish priests, you know.
You know, it says we are going to be
priestly,
priests of the high, most high God.
Yeah. Let's say priests after the order of Melchizedek.
Yeah. And then it says that somewhere else, too, that you are, how does it say? You are something.
A kingdom of priests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes. It goes back and forth.
I can't think of not. Not that I think you're so pretty, but I just like.
I am not pretty, but I am handsome.
You're right. I just like to see the
feet.
Yes.
Well,
if you want to put your feet, here, let me know. I'll just push it for you. But
anyway, so yeah, I don't know if you'd ever heard that before, but I shared it once.
Yeah, no, I did.
Well, okay,
I
shared it once.
I remember you. You know, my attention span is so. Bad. I remember you sharing it, but I didn't
remember it.
No. I didn't remember it either.
No,
I do remember you having it.
The one, and I said,
yeah.
I got up and
I
started to type it. I started talking to Susan. I said, I better type this to them. So I spent some time and wrote it up.
To me, I would have thought it was only like a year ago.
No, I remember it was a couple of years ago.
I remember being quite struck by the water feature of it.
Yeah, I know what that
water,
means.
But it has some characteristics of being solid.
Yeah,
you know, it's
with no container around it.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah,
it was defying natural man.
Yeah,
and that was the point I got. Like, that shouldn't be doing that. That's all. I mean, it's a.
And then you could put your finger in it.
And then, well, right. But then kind of like I had been able to touch it.
I know.
And then it came back like okay. The Spirit can touch me, and I can get back to having that experience again.
But I wonder if you could relate it, and I don't know, this is your dream, but to, like, living water. Water with its own life.
I wondered about that, too. Yeah, I thought about that as well.
But well, I think any dream is open to interpretation.
Right, absolutely.
Well, yeah. And in fact, you may get the interpretation. Mm-hmm. I had the dream. Mm-hmm. I do not know beyond. Mm-hmm. And in a significant to me only because I do not have dreams. You know, it's like, as I said the other day, you know, Keith said, I saw something, I go, yeah, whatever. But then someone who says, yeah, I saw something, and it's like the second time in their life, I go, and, you know, well, when Keith and
Ben,
thank you. Keith and Ben having the same kind of dream or experience before Dale's surgery, Keith, I've always considered him spiritually attuned. His antenna is really good at that. Ben, I don't think, has ever had anything happen to him like that. And the fact that it was sort of the same thing in the same night, then my ears perked up and said something.
His was on Saturday night, mine was on Sunday.
They were different nights.
Okay. Yeah.
They had one night apart or something.
Yeah.
But that perked up my ears like, okay, yeah, the Lord's trying to tell us something.
Yeah.
You know, the water is representative of the Spirit, And I saw it as the Spirit behaving in ways that we're not used to.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's we're going to see some unusual things occur in relation to the Spirit of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to know it's the Spirit of the Lord, but it's
but it will. Never seen anything quite like that. Before.
Hopefully, in a more powerful way.
Yeah.
Just like you knew it was water. You knew it was water.
And then you know, Jesus did walk on water, so. For what it's worth, that's the.
When I got filled with the Holy Spirit at the Merwood meeting, you know, 57 years ago, I had a experience like I haven't heard one like that from anybody else, but it was like I was standing in some oil, soothing, delicious, awesome, wonderful oil. Mm-hmm. And I was standing on it, and it kept coming up my higher and higher and higher and on my body until the next thing I know, I'm underneath it, and I'm going like this, you know, just being moved around by the oil, and that was how I got filled with the Holy Spirit. When I came onto the thing, you know, an hour or two had passed away, had gone away, and I couldn't talk in English, and Joanna had never driven downtown Seattle. But she had to drive home that night. I couldn't drive. I was just, you know. And so it's a strange thing. But was that water? Was that oil? Or what was it? I don't know. But it was warm, soothing, delicious. That's the only thing I could think of. I've never ever heard of anybody else having one like it, but that's what happened to me.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, I've only had one. I've only had one dream type thing, and that was water too.
Yeah.
But.
I've never had a dream or a vision.
You know, it's interesting. I was just thinking about it again. And the whole, what I got from the dream, my interpretation of it was that it was really had to do with faith. Because. It was like, well, it was nothing to do. When it was time to walk on the water, it was just calm and I just walked. And, I mean, it was just like, it was no big deal, you know. It was just, yeah, okay, you know. Then there was one other part. The last part of it, though, was a little odd. I don't know. It was like it was like I was on the water going towards the shore, but it was almost like, it was all like forest going up. And then it was kind of like I was going up through it. And then it was like what was coming was hear the word of the Lord. You know, was being proclaimed. And then that was it.
Did you get any sense of what the forest was?
No, I don't know.
He's talking about about Ben, you know, my Ben, not my Ben, but Angel's Ben. He was very blessed on Sunday with a service, actually. And at the end of the service, I think you were next to me. I don't know. And he's like, you know, I'm God this, and you know, I don't know, because God had this, and I'm God this. And you guys don't know Ben, but 2 years ago. God was just below Santa Claus, you know what I mean? He didn't even know,
sure.
He wasn't even sure that God was real. But now, you hear this guy, now he's telling you what God does, what he doesn't, what he's doing. And like, why are you even talking about God when last time I talked to you, you were questioning this God was real or not? And what he was saying didn't necessarily have to be profound or not. That wasn't the point.
He got touched as well.
Yeah, but the bigger point is that he was talking about a God and being impacted by a God the thing.
The Holy Spirit could do that.
Exactly. You know, he would have said anything about God. God made Adam and Eve. As profound as that. And but still, you know, years ago.
Yeah,
you have to like convince him.
The Holy Spirit can be very convincing.
Yeah.
Well, over the years, many, many of the people in the church, the husbands have been changed by the wives. And the angel has been changed a great deal because she's been spending time with Keith, and Keith and Angel are having conversations which are impacting just the way Angel is, and he has to be seeing that. I mean, Jim, not always mentioning names, but the couple down the street, she was coming to the church all the time, and finally, you know, he came to see what was going on because he was noticing a change in her, and then he, you know,
yeah,
went on his property and got the Holy Spirit, and has been a very good man of God many, many, many years, but was led not to anybody witnessing to him, just the changes in God that done in his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very encouraged to hear how
the Lord led Joanne and I to sing a song that scared the heebie-jeebies out of her. And I don't know, remember we used to sing Left Behind Forever, Ever?
Yes.
With the Hope for Eternity?
Mm-hmm.
It really is. It's just here to
mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
We used to talk about it. He'd laugh about it. But.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting that there should have been priests in the old Jewish manner, and yet Melchizedek is a Gentile kind of a... It's Gentile as opposed to Jewish and Levitical, it's not in the tribe of Judah, it's not the tribe of Levi, it's the tribe of Judah.
But yeah. I don't know that it necessarily means Gentile, does it?
Oh, I don't think you... In Hebrews, when it talks about having a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek,
right.
I believe it is abandoning the old covenant with the Levitical priesthood and having a more generalized priesthood
but
after the order of Melchizedek.
Does that say that he was without father or mother?
Right, right.
No genealogy. So, was he Gentile or was he just not?
Well, it's just not. Yeah, it's not. It's not a question.
It puts Christ after the order of Melchizedek. You know, without genealogy.
Yeah.
Even though he's a Jewish nation.
Uh huh.
But he also came from God. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's strange.
Yeah, that guy's a strange guy.
Mm-hmm. He's a lot.
Melchizedek.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Makes no sense. To any natural thinking because of the description that they give of him, that's there. No genealogy, no other. Yeah, but he makes him out as a man.
How did Abraham recognize him?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You know, I had that same thought. I thought, how did Peter and John and whatever know that it was Elijah and Moses speaking with Jesus?
Yeah, right.
They never met him personally. He was hundreds of years before.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause to know.
Right? Yeah.
Yes. Oh, God is a lot bigger than what any of us realize. His ways are past finding out. And so, whatever he does is phenomenal. And you're never going to understand anything he does. That's why faith is what pleases him. You know? By faith you understand. You don't understand by natural logic.
Yeah.
That's why it says avoid science.
So-called.
Falsely so-called. Avoid it.
Yeah.
because it's a knowledge gained by natural observation.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't such a thing. You can't naturally observe God.
It's interesting. Yeah, I was just happened to be reading in Hebrews, and it must say by faith 15-20 times, because it's going through every major man of God and whatever in the Bible.
Yeah.
You know,
from that Hall of Fame or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And through faith, it says in the 11th chapter, it says, through faith, the elders obtain a good report.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought there was a setting that said, by faith we are saved, but there really isn't, it doesn't exactly say it like that. I thought it did, but I couldn't find it.
In Hebrews?
No.
Or just generally?
I looked it up generally, and I couldn't find a reference that said it like that. But I swear I've heard that. By faith we are saved. But it implies, it says, well, it gave the references.
Isn't it maybe in Romans?
I think there's one spot in Hebrews. But it's wording that goes around faith and salvation. It doesn't say it just like that, like I thought.
I see.
So, but it looks like a fine word.
Faith, you're justified. Faith.
One of them is like something like that.
And Peter, it says, therefore baptism does also save you. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the act of a good conscience. And I have been really being prompted or something lately to get this baptism thing going.
Okay. How about, for by grace you have been saved through faith?
Yeah, that could be the one.
And that not of yourself.
Where is that?
If Ephesians 2... 8 through 9.
Yeah, that's weird. My reference are Romans, Matthew, Thessalonians, Hebrews, and Acts. But yeah, that's probably the one I was thinking about.
Well, Keith, what should we do here in connection with baptism? Arranging for baptizing.
Well, right now we can use the swimming pools or the lake.
Uh-huh.
Until fall.
Used indoor swimming pool in January. But
by then we should be able to get that set up. If nobody's really particular about what we have, we can get a stock tank, you know, an animal watering thing. And you can get those for $100. That's what we had at Thorpe. And not we, but that's what Johnny Tedbird used at Thorpe. And they're okay. Paint them up, put some rubber coating on the inside, and they're galvanized steel. At least they don't leak.
Well, some are rubber. They got some big rubber ones too, I think.
I didn't see any of those advertised.
Well, yeah, I think I've seen them. You know, they're about 4 foot by 3 feet high, maybe.
I mean,
you don't need much. All you need is for someone to just go like this.
Get them underneath the water.
Yeah.
You'd want it. Wouldn't you want it 6 feet long, though?
Well, they don't have to stretch out necessarily. They can just kind of,
I guess.
They can just kind of lay down.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe if they lay, I guess you. But you know, your feet can kind of drop as you go.
Yeah.
Well, we had that baptism room,
yeah,
and we've never ever used it.
No.
Well, we've done some excellent storage in there, though.
Yeah.
Keep some fake poinsettias and stuff like that.
Well, I got a place that I have a little cache of. Cement blocks out back behind the garage, and so I'm going to, there's some cement blocks that I'm going to.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them in there.
Yeah, we'll get
big
those.
Big ones, too, 12 by 12.
Get those out and put them, have Chuck push them on it.
I think most of that stuff that was used for skits and plays, we could just throw, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Start the new burn pile.
Yeah, there's a few, but then there's a bunch of lot of little stuff that's that was in there that's sitting on the stage up there. I think all of most of that could just go in the dumpster, I think.
I think, from what we see in the scriptures, I think that it probably has a lot more value than what we have placed on it. You know, we're buried by him when baptism.
You're right.
And as an association, we become, we die, we're buried, and we arise in newness of life. You know, that's what it says. And you know, it's been a few years since we've had anything to do with it.
And I can just see how the devil took it away because and put it in people's minds like, oh, that's so foolish. What do you mean you have to be fully immersed, you know? Yes. Oh, it's uncomfortable. Oh, that you're going to stand out from everybody else. Well, that's part of what you're supposed to have when mm-hmm. you give your heart to the Lord.
Sure is.
You know?
Yep.
Is that you stand apart from the rest.
We had a big baptism one time. In Lake Wissota, down at CPL. Remember that?
Yeah.
Were you there?
I'm
not sure I was, but
I don't know. I remember we went to a lake once. I thought.
You know where the, remember where Marty got killed, Marty Grohrud, Peggy's son? He died out of the boat out in and by a little lake. It was actually in Big Lake, Wissota, out toward that island. You know where I'm at, where the railroad bridge crosses the thing?
Right.
Well, there's just a little bit past that. There's a steep hill that goes down to the lake, and there's a nice area down there. And we had some baptisms there. We had I don't know how many people got baptized at one time. It wasn't funny, but one time some guy was mocking us, and he mooned us. Mm-hmm. Did you see that? Remember that?
No. I wasn't there. Yeah.
But we baptized that time, we probably baptized 10 or 15 people.
Huh?
Somebody did.
It's kind of amazing. I've watched a lot of, you know, different movies and stuff, and it's amazing how often baptism, the river, and gospel gets put in there.
Yeah.
And sometimes, and it's not always as a mockery. It's just like that's part of the culture, you know. Now, it makes probably light of it, but it's interesting how much it's out there, actually, in a lot of things, you know, and there's songs that refer to, you know, like.
Oh, that. Yeah, no, we must not despise baptism.
Remember that popular song that we used to, this was Joanne's favorite, I think. It's good to be buried in the name of the Lord. Remember that? You remember the song? I guess, my voice won't work, but it's good to be buried in the name of the Lord.
Yes, I guess I do remember
the Lord,
that.
In the name of the Lord.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. It's good to be buried in the name of the Lord, for the name of the Lord has made us free, or something.
Well, it was pretty obvious in Acts.
Oh, yeah.
They made a big deal out of it.
Mm-hmm. They sure did.
You know.
It wasn't optional, was it?
No. It's one of the things they would ask. Well, have they been baptized? Right. You know,
and I have been feeling really prompted, pushed, or something for quite a while. And just by getting old didn't change it, you know.
Yeah, and maybe it's time, possibly. You know, we're sharing all this word, revelation, truth that he's given us. But maybe it's time to start cementing that in some of the people that haven't had some of this done. It's like, why are we just keeping them kind of hanging on out there? We should be drawing them in, kind of. You know what I mean?
Yep.
be.
That might even be some of the thing the problem we have.
It's possible.
Yeah. Possible. Yeah. You know, we would never maintain a theology that treated baptism as being optional. However, our behavior is basically doing that.
Yeah, it's
what we're doing is making baptism optional when you don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's not right.
But I hope, and I would hope that we present it in a way that is attracting. Not you're not saved if you're not not that kind of a thing.
Right.
It is part of the process. It's important.
Yes. Yeah, it's part of it.
Yeah, it is part of salvation in a sense because, you know, it's identifying with Christ in the best way possible. Yeah,
which
probably
is what we are to do. Right. No, it...
You know, one of the things, and a lot of people have... But for me, I did it even after I had confessed on my own, you know. But when I ended up in the church, I kind of went down one time when they called because it was like a public witness, you know, and that can do good for you. I mean, because you got to die to self.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I remember the night I got saved. It was so foolish for me to go up responding to an altar call, you know, get up there get on my knees or whatever. I felt so dumb, so totally stupid.
Yeah.
But there was a bigger... There was a bigger priority going on.
Yeah.
So I was willing to go ahead and do that.
Yeah, because you knew something. You didn't care who saw or what happened.
Right.
You needed something.
Yeah, but I was totally alert to the fact that what I was doing was really stupid. But I was doing it.
Yeah.
So.
But then that's gotten kind of misused too, in a sense. So.
Yes.
So it's, you know, it's...
I guess.
I guess you can make it available sometimes, but don't make it a necessity, or it has to be.
Yeah, right.
You have to respond, you know.
Yeah, right.
No,
right.
Mm-hmm. After I'd watched so many evangelistic services and stuff, and I thought, you know, you do this in your heart however you can before God. You don't have to say any particular words. You just got to come to grips with you and God and yourself, you know, whether it's in the pew or wherever, it doesn't matter, or at home later, whatever. It's between you and Him, you know.
Which is true to a, you know, but if what you are called to do is to make that spectacle of yourself, then that's the thing to do.
Yeah.
It's kind of like if you're going to be separate. don't do it in your prayer closet.
right.
You know, we were sharing about. It's probably pretty important. You know, what came to mind was Jesus saying that John the Baptist said there was no greater than he for John the Baptist, which had to be kind of hard on the Jews thinking about Moses. It might have been one of the other things that kind of said, no, this guy's not not greater than Moses. It might have just been another piece of the puzzle that said, this is not the Messiah, because he just got done saying that this guy here is greater than Moses,
mm-hmm.
which had to really, really attack him. I mean, right at the core. But those are his words.
Jesus was making a separation, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he's really making a separation.
Big proclamation, yeah. And that's, you know, kicked off his ministry. So it's, I think you're right, Keith. There's probably, we aren't doing baptism.
Yeah, I've been feeling it for a couple of years, but lately it's increasing. And I draw the rest of
it. Have you actually just sat and thought about that? That there was never baptism before, right? Well, there was types, but they didn't actually do it. And here comes John, and why all of a sudden is he saying, come and be baptized? You know? That's amazing. I mean, that's totally God moving with the Holy Spirit on John for the people. You know? God, he was, and it's like, how come they automatically kind of, a lot of them responded? It's funny. When you stop and think about that, that wasn't norm at all.
Mm-hmm.
That was a totally new concept. If you wanted to call it ceremony or whatever.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember whether there seemed to be some practice that would have been.
I don't know.
It refers to going through the Red Sea, but it refers to it later.
Yeah, that, yes.
As a type of baptism.
Type of it, yes.
You know. So
it wouldn't be apparent as a type until it had already.
Yeah.
It also refers to the flood as a type of baptism. But still,
it wasn't people. But in one person individually.
No, but when John the Baptist was doing it, nobody's heard of anything such before.
Yeah.
But don't they call, I'm not sure, but don't they call John the Baptist baptism, don't they call it a baptism unto repentance?
Yes.
And so the whole Jewish nation had gotten so far away from the Word of God through the priests and Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. They were getting demonic doctrines. They weren't getting the truth. So they were so far away that Peter said, don't just save yourselves from this untoward generation. You know, they weren't faced the right direction.
You know, John the Baptist says, you know, he was a prophet. And this prophet, well, I think he was more of a prophet of doing a prophetic than saying.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Because Jesus did say, so unless you are baptized by the water, unless you are born again of water and spirit, and baptism. Okay, so see, when you're born in the flesh, you are in water, right? You are amniotic fluid or whatever you call it. You are in water when you're born in the flesh, but you need to be born again of water, and it's not a natural thing. So the baptism is the being born of water. That's what baptism is, you know what I mean? So John prophetically knew that you needed to be born of water. So he was helping with half of the process, you know.
Before John, they went and did everything yearly at one point of the year for all the sins, da-da-da, but it never completely relinquished all, you know, they had to do it every year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if you started when you're 10 and you'd be doing it till you died every year. Well, when he came, it was a one time.
Mm-hmm.
And you were done. I mean, that's the amazing part of the new covenant that God provided was, you know.
Yeah. That's another way that it shows you that, you know, submersion, or whatever you call it. Because you're born and will come out of the water. And he says, when Jesus was submerged, because he says, and when he came out of the water, you know, this and this happened.
Yeah, yeah.
So Jesus obviously was submerged as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they make it, it's also referred to as when he died, was buried, and resurrected. It's got that same meaning in baptism also, that mm-hmm. You're dying to self. Mm-hmm. Like
and you're born again out of water.
Mm-hmm. Romans 6.
Yeah.
That's what that whole chapter is about.
I guess what you said, Pablo, makes sense. Born again, both in water and in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
They probably would have recognized that the womb was filled with water. The water breaks at the time of birth.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are emerging from
birth.
It involves emerging from water.
Right, coming out of the water.
And so when you are baptized, you're being born again.
Of water.
By emerging from the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot more important, I think.
It is.
Than what we have recognized.
I think it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if...
And by we, I mean me.
Yeah.
I wonder if we should bring it up more when we talk to, if we ever talk to a stranger or whatever.
Well,
I mean,
what made me think of it, Pablo, was Ben. When you're talking about Ben,
mm-hmm.
Ben would be I'm sure he'd be a candidate mm-hmm. right away.
Well, and how many? We don't even know. Do we know who has and hasn't been that's affiliated with that our body that's been baptized or hasn't been?
I mean, mostly your kids, isn't it?
My kids, my three younger kids.
How well, have all that? The girls been?
Yeah,
have pretty Angel
sure.
And all them?
I think so.
Yeah.
But Ben, there's, yeah. And then James, if he feels left, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's important. You know, just like when the Philip was talking to the Ethiopian. He must have, who knows what he must have said, but he must have brought up baptism, obviously, and salvation. So he's basically, hey, I need to get baptized. You know what I mean? It's, you know what I mean? So it's a priority.
Yeah.
It's a voice, okay. Yeah.
Pull over here.
Here's some water.
Down
what
into
what hindered me from being baptized?
Right. Right. Yeah, right. He must have seen any water. And let's use this water. You know?
Yeah. Right.
And I thought of James and thought of him as being one who is on the edge of the pool, watching what's going on in the water. You know. But not being.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, sure.
Just watching from the outside, which I get it. I mean, but you know, hey man, jump in that pool and get wet. You know, that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Well, maybe baptism would serve that purpose.
Right.
I've got
right.
You know, not. To, I mean,
well, you'll have a pool set up here pretty soon.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there
we
go. Yeah.
And,
if you set it up.
Yeah, we'll
set it up.
Who was it? Was it Dan LaQuay that had a swimming pool out? Or was it Dan that had that? Out towards Kadat? No, it wasn't Dan LaQuay, it was somebody else. We used to baptize in that pool.
In the pool? Was it a pool? Then it would have been.
Was it a Harshman's?
A couple that lived on Andrei.
Oh, no. A Larson's? Larson.
Yeah, I think Joe.
Joe, that's not who you're thinking of.
Yeah, no. We never baptized in their pool, I don't think.
Well, I was baptized down the street.
Yeah. You're baptized there?
At Bakken's, huh?
Yep, and you were the one doing it.
I was baptized.
I was there with you, though.
Oh, yeah. Okay, tell me about my good memory.
There was a lot of us, too, that got baptized that day.
I was baptized when we went to camp meeting up at Camp Luther, or Luther Camp up in Chitek, and you baptized me. And since then, you've been kind of delegating this baptism stuff to...
Well, if I do, I draw, you know.
Yeah, I sure are legs.
Without letting it pass, I want to go back to where we were. You had shared your dream, and we were discussing the, you know, the things, and you were saying that, yeah, I think God's really going to do something big with the Spirit different. I really, felt that.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to let that pass. But I don't want to think, I don't want it to be that, I had feelings or emotions. I just felt like that really registered in my spirit
mm-hmm.
that's coming.
Yeah. Well,
unusual. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
God is, you know, if we're close to the end, and I think we are, we're going to see some profound things, according to the scriptures. God's going to finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. We don't see righteousness anywhere.
I'm probably not so far. Not I've tried occasionally, but I know where I felt somewhat like what you shared is when I was praying steadily, spending time in prayer to the Lord, and it, a lot of times it would end up in worship. I haven't been able to get there again, but I know that's what I want. I mean, it's important, you know, however each person does that. But yeah, it's,
you know, changing the subject a bit. We can come back to it.
No, that's fine.
Talking about unusual, you know, one thing I've learned for sure is like no judgment in appearance, speech, nothing, or lifestyle on anyone. You know what I mean? No judgment. But anyways, Kendi and I went to a casino the other day, and there's this guy that I know, he's kind of goofy. I've seen him a few times, and we talk, and we laugh, you know, just silly stuff. Anyways, the other day we went in and we wanted to eat, so we went to eat first, but then I see this guy, hey, how are you doing, whatever. And he didn't see Kendi, so Kendi was at the buffet already before me. So, and he tells me, do you mind if I go in with you? I said, no, I don't mind at all. So anyways, and this is long story short. We go eat, we're eating, and this guy opens up about different things. And I don't even know if he was aware of a few things. Anyways, long story way short. He's like, he said, I don't know where. Now, this is not, I don't know. He says, Pablo, he says, and he's, we were not talking about God. Nothing. We're talking about other stuff. He said, Pablo, he says, I know God wanted me to meet you, and he wanted you to meet me, he says. And just like that. And then he says, and so then we're talking, and Kendi can remember a lot better. And he's saying other things, and says, seriously, I don't know, he says, Pablo, we need to form a group, he says. Because we were just talking. And I know, Kendi was way more impacted than I was. But at one moment, Kendi had to cover her face because she was crying. She was, I didn't want to really acknowledge Kendi, but to me, it was so bizarre that I wasn't really impacted. Because it was way bizarre. And I'm just giving you a long story short. But this guy, I don't know. I mean, you're going to have Kendi, you know, tell the story a lot better. But we need to form a group, you know, and talk, you know, and talk about spirit, basically. And, you know, he said that God wanted us to meet.
So here's your chance.
Yeah.
Form a group.
Right. And he said, and
try to keep Tuesdays open.
Right. he said, Pablo, he says, he described to me where he lives. He says, if you drive here, there, and he says, if you guys ever came to visit me, I will be just, I don't know, tickled or delighted or flabbergasted, whatever word. And now he's talking about God in what he knows about God. You know, my goofy stuff. Just goofy stuff. But I'm not going to judge. I mean, I was talking goofy stuff about God 20-some years ago. You know what I mean? I'm not going to write him off, you know. He's a goofy guy. But all of a sudden, this guy's...
You don't know.
That's why I don't. I get no judgment.
I think the spirit picks up the spirit, though.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Right. I think if you are engaged in the spirit,
yeah,
it is going to show.
Yeah.
So I started to say something. I won't say much about it, but. The other night when you guys came and we prayed for Dale before you left, Brian sat right over there. I don't know if you noticed that, but he sat and he was watching this. And afterwards, and he said to me, you know, he said, I was really impacted. And he says, we got to talk a lot more about this, he said. And so you could see that whatever it is that God is putting in us is going to seep out.
See, and real God stuff beats anything else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I suppose what he was perceiving was real God stuff.
Yeah, well, I saw him looking at us like we had a couple heads, you know, mm-hmm. a piece.
See, when we did that, we were, you know, just praying.
Yeah.
But Brian, you know, he's in fact.
That was new.
Right now, like last Sunday, we were just talking. We were just talking. But this is impacting Ben in such a way that, didn't the angel say anything to you about it? Angel, didn't she share with you?
Pardon?
She, the angel, didn't share with you about Ben?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So Ben, you know, they were talking about this, you know, the service, they were impact, I mean, and again, you know, the fact that Ben, you know, I was
well
more impacted. I mean, if I think I was more, I don't know what the word is, but impacted, I think, is to hear Ben speaking the way he was more than I would have seen somebody recover or healed or whatever. It was that impacting for me. Because I actually saw him, you know, in quotation marks, sick. I saw him lost. I seen him lost, speaking about being lost. Now I'm seeing him with hope.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. Dude, you can say.
Is that what we want?
Right.
Yeah. So I know he came up to me right before we were going to go out the door, and just went, and just shared, like, oh, that was so good. It just, all of a sudden, I just seen things differently, and I found out I could, well, his comment was, I never thought I could pray for somebody like Keith or one of us, because he figured we had it all, or whatever. And then he said, I realized that, no,
you
I can pray for anybody.
Huh? And then you all gather around me and pray?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I suppose he saw that, you know.
And he became involved in it.
He was part of it.
And he realized he could be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just a big breakthrough for him.
Oh, wow.
It's like something lifted off of him that
whatever it is
holding him down and
whatever
he feel inadequate or whatever, and all of a sudden he felt whole. Kind of.
Boy, it's so funny when things that we would never dream have some big impact on us.
Yeah,
right.
That's the spirit.
We're because yes, here in one side we want to say, okay, you must believe in God and do this and do that and you whatever, but all of a sudden it's just unusual. Unusual.
It's really good when we get reminded that we're just not in charge.
Yeah.
And the Lord just does it all the time, and we keep going, that's really surprising. And you go, no, it's not.
You know what my thoughts are? He does these wonderful things in spite of us.
Yeah.
Well, we certainly do create an obstacle course for him.
Yeah. We do have for sure.
We redefine grace and mercy over and over and over.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
The other morning in prayer, I thought of that statement you made, which has been one of my questions in my mind is, you know, exactly what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Mm-hmm. Remember you said something mm-hmm. Sunday morning? And anyway, I started to get a look at this thing from 2 Peter 1:4, where it says, by these exceeding great and precious promises, we become partakers of His divine nature. Well, you know what? The move from our normal, from our nature into His nature is where the walking in the Spirit takes place. That's what it is. And God is moving us into His nature. We're moving into God's divine nature. And that the Word of God is what causes that. It creates it. God's word is creative, just as God is creative. It won't return void. That means it's going to do whatever God sends it forth to do. And so he's going to make us into we're going to become partakers of his divine nature. You know, what a awesome, wonderful, unbelievable privilege that is.
Yes.
Oh, so yeah. That our lower nature is replaced by God's upper nature.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Are you following me?
Talk about your miracle.
Yeah. That sounds like what Jesus said was.
And you know what? I can feel it. I can feel it. You know when I really feel it? It's about 4 o'clock in the morning. God wake me up to pray. Mm. At first, I was not resenting, but it was like, no, do I have to, you know. But I've already had 7 hours sleep. And I get a nap doing properly. And so that's the time to get up and pray.
For you. I can't imagine ever getting myself to bed by 9 or 9:30.
I think as we discussed the other day, everybody has his or her unique way to God.
Yeah.
You know, as long as we're still using the scriptures as the guidance. How the Spirit steers you through the Word is probably more unique for each of us than we realize.
Well, but I've noticed if every once in a while I get to bed by 10 or 10:30, it was so easy to be awake at 6. Because you got 7.5 to 8 hours sleep, you know.
Yes.
It's a key thing.
But, to go back to kind of the points, we have been, over the years, and there's more than a few now, have had experiences, spiritual experiences, and they've all been good, and they've all been impactful, but, you know, knowing how little foundation we had of the Word compared to where we are now, I just have to believe that the experiences of the Spirit are going to be different. And I think they're going to be more impactful because we're closer. I mean, mm-hmm. We were here, we moved a little bit. I mean, we've got a ways to go. No one's preaching perfection has arrived. But,
one of the nice things that's happened to us is we don't know as much anymore.
Which makes it easier.
Yeah.
Because he's not having to overcome all of these false doctrines and misconceptions and ourselves knowing that we know it.
I used to know a lot more than I do now. Not really, but it seems like it.
I think a train on a track 100 miles from its destination is a whole lot closer than a train off the track that is 10 miles from its destination. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's the track. You need to get on that track.
Right.
And the fact that you have a long way to go, don't worry about it because you're on the track.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
And you know, we need to recognize, I think, and it's because we know humbleness, maybe we don't know it completely, but we know humility, humbleness, and we know it's by grace that we've been given anything. We need to recognize that, yes, we have moved. Mm-hmm. We've gotten farther.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can't keep, you don't want to just keep saying, yeah, but we don't know nothing. No, we do know some things. By God gave it to us.
That's right. Stay with my analogy. I think being on the track.
That's what's going along with that.
It's a lot bigger. And now there's a lot, so much more that we don't know, you know.
Well, I ain't going to worry about that.
You know, it says, being like little children is not the same as being little children.
Yeah.
I think that's talking about the attitude of the heart and the approach taken, they don't know anything.
It is sharing characteristics,
You know, it's funny, and you can say, he's so much bigger and got all this. Well, because of that, he can make you have all that, if he wants to.
And
right?
You know,
so that's the promise.
I think we're going to spend an eternity learning more about God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be a pretty good time.
I'm kind of banking on the minute I get there, he's going to give it all.
You know,
I don't know.
You know, my take on this is that it says that there's a river, there's a tree, it's a tree of life, and we are going to be eating out of the tree of life.
Yeah.
That's my, you know, I would side with Keith, you know, and that we're gonna be eating out of the tree of life, as in there's more, you know what I mean?
It's a good question, because on one hand, you know, Scripture tells us that Jesus had the fullness of God. At the same time, Jesus didn't know what God was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So you go, okay, yes, you could be taken in, but do you know everything? I mean, well, no, but I would gladly settle for the fullness of God.
Well, I just started thinking of something. See, we have no idea what really compromises God's complete,
right,
if you want to call it universe, creation, whatever. We don't know what's going on,
right.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So when you get there, I just thought of it. Well, you could, I mean, God could let you know everything possible at where you're at. Mm-hmm. But then he might say, but do you know that over here in this realm, yeah, or whatever?
This is heaven and earth.
So, you know, in that regard,
then there's this.
You keep learning more about, you know, his.
I don't know if this is what I want to believe, or, but I, you know, this is, but, you know, it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. In that sense, I can see that through eternity, because, you know, to pass away is basically to die, you know what I mean? So, if the word will never die, so the word is always alive, and it's always alive, it's always growing and getting bigger, and, you know what I mean? So in a sense, we're going to have a fullness of God, but that fullness is never filling up, kind of, way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know what? I mean, it's pretty much speculation.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
definitely
not.
I'm just going to say, we can all have our little
right
thoughts, and might be right,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
On the other hand, you know, Revelation does talk about, as you were bringing, fruit from the tree of life.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of having eternity being more and more,
right,
eating of the fruit of the tree of life,
right,
and having life, having,
yeah,
it be what we are,
right,
yep, the food from the,
yeah,
tree of life.
Yeah.
And I also will throw in, as long as I have the floor, where it says in the Gospel of John toward the end of it that he did a whole bunch of things.
Yeah.
But what I'm telling you now is what you need in order to be saved.
Just to get there. Yeah.
And I think now it's that principle, not necessarily that very thing, but that principle of knowing what you need to know is, I think, what he will be providing us.
Yeah.
Knowing what you need to know.
I think that is a more sure thing at this point.
Right. Right.
But I understand, because you like to walk around and eat things wherever you're at. So,
so you like that idea of eating.
I do.
You see how sure we are of all of these things?
Yeah.
It says in...
I thought it was a good point to stop on that spiritual note.
1 Corinthians 13, it says that we will know as we are now known. Mm-hmm. Is that 1 Corinthians 13?
Mm-hmm.
I think it is.
I think you brought that, a couple times.
Yep. Then we will know, now we see through a glass darkly, but then we will know even as we are known.
As we are known. Mm-hmm. And then 1 John 3, where it says, I never saw that before, but it says, it has not yet appeared what we're going to be like. But But when he appears, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Mm-hmm. So he's already whatever we're going to be. Whatever he is now is what we're going to be.
Yeah, and it's funny that we should become like him by virtue of having seen him as he is.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting here thinking, as far as God, I don't know how you could actually ever know the whole mind of God, because, you know,
well,
he's always been.
It
always will be. It's like
in Second Corinthians, is who had known the mind of God, or mind of the Lord, that he might instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ, and it's like, what is that? I mean, we don't have it yet, but we will.
No,
you know.
Well, it's about as good as you can get from not having the other.
I think it might mean we have access to light from heaven. And we do have that.
I just thought of realized something. Now, you guys have these phones, and you can access all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Is it possible we'll have something like that in heaven?
Sure. I guess we won't be needing phones.
No. Well, he's...
No, that ain't what I meant.
He's talking about the great Wi-Fi system in the sky here.
Well, what I'm saying is...
Well, it's like Jesus being glorified. He sure knows what the thoughts of every person are.
I think we do have access to knowing what we need to know. The internet, access to the internet provides us with
something probably greater than that.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying.
So we would have access to whatever we need to know. Not we wouldn't have had this
brain full of all this stuff. Why not? Be is you won't be fooled by the half of what's on there that's a lie.
Right. No fake news in heaven.
That's a good problem. There is no fake news in heaven.
I hope I'll be able to access it. I can't hear.
Yeah,
I hope in heaven I'll be able to access these.
Right.
Here I can't.
Yeah,
you're not going to have that natural.
Yeah. A whole lot of things change for the better.
Yeah. I get a kick out of the idea of Keith being handed a smartphone as he enters the pearly gates, though.
Me and Carol.
Here's a test. All you got to do is text, and then you go up. Oh, no.
Did we shut that up yet?
No. We're close, though.
You know, anyways, it says we're all going to be one. We're going to be one.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're going to, I don't think this is not even going to be communication. It's just going to be, we're all so much in the same page, in the same frequency, that I don't know that we're going to have to talk. But I think it's just we're all one with God as well. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So we are, there's no missing links, there's no doubt, there's no between the lines, it's all wide open.
The real question is, how are all those souls going to talk to one another? It's probably more of a spiritual thing than a natural.
Yeah.
And so we don't
know. God bless you guys.
Well, thank you all.